Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Off Topic Hot Topic, a bonus episode of the Hunting Seasons podcast. I'm Broderick Gordis.
I'm Paul Mitzi.
And I'm Liam Gordis.
Jeremy Beremy, baby.
Off Topic Hot Topic.
That's whatever you were talking about for you.
In case you don't know, Off Topic Hot Topic is where we talk about the headlines of the TV and entertainment world and discuss the stuff we've been watching, reading, playing, and generally consuming. You should also know that we love getting topic suggestions from our listeners. So if you'd like to contribute a question, topic, or story to Off Topic Hot Topic, you can do so by emailing us at contact@huntingseasonspodcast.com or tweeting us at HuntingSCast. Firstly, thank you, gentlemen, for coming back onto the show. It's great to have you back for another Off Topic Hot Topic. I think you were both here for the last one, or maybe the one before that as well. Damask is still on holiday in Bali as we speak, and so she'll be back. We're not sure exactly yet. I'm hoping next week to review Stranger Things season 4, if not the week after at the latest. How have you guys both been?
Doing okay, recovering from COVID. I can again, which is lovely.
That's nice.
I've been very busy and I'm very tired, so thanks for having me on.
Thanks for letting me back on your podcast again, Paul, as well. I forgot to tweet it out, actually. I didn't mean to do it, that I was on to review a TV show, a body swap TV show in Boy Meets Girl.
Yes.
And we did get, actually, this is an opportunity, I guess. We did get your written thoughts on Boy Meets Girl. If you want to hear those, go watch the listen to the episode of the Swapcast podcast. But now that you're on a microphone again, how did you feel? Did you agree with what Brendan and I were saying?
I think I was pretty much on board with everything you guys said. Okay, like, cool. It was a very dour, depressing show that made some very strange choices that kind of robbed the show of any kind of comedy or dramatic effect.
Absolutely. It was there wasn't much left beyond that, unfortunately. All right, let's get straight into some news stories, starting with the big headlines. The biggest one, probably, it's come out in the last couple of days, is that Sopranos actor Tony Sirico, who played Paulie Walnuts, has passed away at the age of 79. Have you guys watched The Sopranos, and do you know the character of Paulie?
I watched the first season of The Sopranos for this podcast.
That's right, you did. And then stopped.
I watched the first episode of the second season and went, I can't do this. And so I stopped. So,
but you remember Paulie, right?
I remember Paulie. He's the one that...
the Italian guy.
In the mafia, yeah.
He eats the galool.
Paulie's the one with... he's got the sort of grey hair, yeah?
Yeah, he's sort of like the older one.
With a polo shirt.
Like an ex, that still doesn't help. Vet or something like that. And he's always like combing back his sort of hair. Yep. It's the he's got the great edges and stuff like that. He's a bit of a hard character, that one. But very funny as well. A bit of an idiot. Did you watch Sopranos? I can't remember, Paul.
I've also watched the first season and stopped. And I'm constantly berated by everyone I know for not loving it. But whatever.
No, I won't. I won't berate you.
I definitely won't.
You can come to me if you need me. I'm right here, Paul.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
The other big news that hit basically the moment we stopped recording our last off-topic hot topic was that Sex Education star Shruti Gatwar has been cast as the 14th Doctor and star of Doctor Who from 2023. I've thought about and talked about this with at least you, Liam, I think, and maybe a little bit with Paul.
You told me straight away.
Absolutely. But, you know, a couple of months later, we can finally talk about the podcast. How do you feel about this casting, Liam?
Love it. I think he's going to be great if they write the show correctly. You know what I mean? I think that there's been a big, especially with Jodie Whittaker, I like Jodie as a doctor, but the seasons of Jodie I wasn't a fan of them. And I think that has a lot to do with the writing and the showrunner. But guess who's back?
Russell T Davies, baby.
Russell T Davies, baby.
He's on a bit of a hot streak at the moment after...
It's a Sin.
It's a Sin, thank you very much. Yeah, and which was somehow didn't win a BAFTA in the end. Wasn't that news as well?
That's
that was
a Sin.
That's a fucking Sin.
That was right? Sin, yeah.
That's what they did that on purpose. And it was all for the... It's all advertising for the show.
So, yeah, I was already excited about Russell T Davies coming back for the show, but... I think Shuddy Gatwa is inspired casting. I remember when they were sort of talking about who it could be. Yeah, having trouble like thinking of names or potential straight off the top of my head. But as soon as I saw that announcement, I was like, that makes perfect sense. And I think he will be an excellent, excellent, excellent doctor. And I think teamed up with Russell as well, I'm just super excited for where this might be going once they're on board. You haven't really watched Doctor Who, have you, Paul?
I don't think I've ever watched an episode.
An episode. So this is the beautiful thing. If you ever feel like jumping on, if you want to just like taste it a little bit before we get to the Shuddy Gatwa stuff, I can just point you in the direction of the episodes you should watch. They aren't like even necessarily like critical to understanding the lore. It's just like these are some standard episodes of Doctor Who that will... either make you realize this show is extremely for you and you should be watching it, or that this is not a show for you. But there is some incredible episodes of Doctor Who.
One of the episodes that Brod will suggest has the Doctor in it for about 3 minutes.
Yeah, seriously. It's like
one of the best episodes of Doctor Who.
Well, what it does have is...
We're talking about the episode Blink for everyone at home.
Yeah, what's the actress's name? Sally Sparrow, played by... Carrie Mulligan. Carrie Mulligan is the star of the episode. Before Carrie Mulligan was, like, big.
Okay.
She plays the character of Sally Sparrow. It's an episode called Blink. It's from season 3. It is, like, the one everyone says you should watch, but there's a reason, because it's great. It's really, really good.
It's also a Russell T Davies episode. Oh, no, it's Stephen Moffat.
Who went on to show run from season 4 onwards, yeah.
I have a question for you, bro.
Yes, yes.
Do you think... You said you were excited for Russell T Davies to come back.
Yes.
Do you think it was right for him to leave at the time? Do you think it was needed, a fresh start for
Totally. Yeah. Do you think
that he's been away long enough now that he's probably got a bunch of ideas?
I'm probably more excited now, post Stephen Moffat's era, who I thought was the right person to show run and take over when he did. I loved especially his 11th Doctor, and I loved Amy and Rory as companions. And while they got a little bit, I don't know, it wasn't always as good as it could have been, I don't think, the Stephen Moffat stuff. He gets a little bit, maybe a little bit into his own ideas too much, or thinks he's a bit smarter than he is. He also crafts some really, 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 really good episodes along the way.
Same with Russell T Davies, though.
To some degree, yeah. And, like, they both have different weaknesses, I guess, that the longer they went on, the more they started to sort of repeat or fall into those traps a bit more.
Yeah.
That being said, they were both still doing great episodes right up until they finished. Like the last episodes of David Tennant as the Doctor are really, really good. Some of the stuff even with Peter Capaldi, there's one episode where he's stuck inside the dial thing, whatever it was, is an all-time one of the best Doctor Who episodes ever made.
That one you will need to watch the show a little bit before, Paul, before watching.
Do you reckon?
I think so. Think about the episode.
Probably having some idea of what Doctor Who is.
Yeah.
But they also, I think, left at the right time. And just who we've got now, I think, steadying the ship after the current tenure, I think would be, I think Russell, and Russell's been doing amazing work for the last decade since he's been gone. It makes me just like excited to see what this version of Russell T Davies would do with Doctor Who now. Heck, he was the right person to get restarted in 2005. I think he's the right person to come back and sort of re-energize it again. I hope. Because he could turn around and find out that, no, actually he's outgrown, or the show's outgrown him, but I doubt it. Anyway, let's move on from Doctor
Maybe
Who.
Maybe a budget will help as well.
Although, we should say, actually, additionally, David Tennant, who played the 10th Doctor and was the first... No, sorry... Russell T Davies' second Doctor, and Damask's favourite companion, Donna Noble, played by Catherine Tate from season 4, will return for the show's 60th anniversary next year. There have been set leaks and photos That have leaked already of like David Tennant's outfit and Donna and Catherine Tate in it. We don't know what it means. This is the return of the 10th Doctor. Is this something else going on? But we know that, yeah, David Tennant will be back at least for the 60th anniversary, which... 60th, those anniversary ones are fun. Multi-Doctor story is always fun.
How do you feel about that, Paul?
I'm enthralled, and I'm really looking forward to this.
I think you would like... I think you would love it, Paul. You just got to get the right... You got to get on the right time. Because if you get on the wrong episode, you'll go, what is this shit?
You might need to... I think, and this is for everyone at home, if you've never watched Doctor Who, I think a good introduction, without having to find a specific episode and wanting to understand what Doctor Who is from the get-go, is start from Matt Smith's entrance.
Start with the 11th Hour. Yeah, the start of Series 5 is a really, really good entry point.
Yeah, it's a really good entry point.
On to some reports. Variety has reported that Netflix has greenlit Black Mirror for a fifth season. It's been 3 years since Season 5 came out. I've actually watched very little of Black Mirror at this point, but I think Liam's watched all of it, if not most of it. How about you, Paul? Have you watched Black Mirror?
Yeah, I've watched every episode.
Are you excited? Are you ready for another season of Black Mirror?
Yeah, I mean, the format of it, you know, has endless possibilities. So they're not all hits, but, you know, every season has had at least one episode that's been amazing or like worth talking about. So yeah, bring on some more Black Mirror.
Liam?
I think I watched every season except for the latest season. Okay. Yeah, I agree. There are some episodes that aren't amazing at all, but there are absolutely some great episodes. I never watched Bandersnatch though. Is that...
It's fun. I would say do a round of it.
Is it better than the Kimmy Schmidt?
Oh like, God, that was terrible.
Choose Your Own Adventure 1. That was pretty average.
Yeah, I'd say it's better than that, yeah.
Okay, good.
Have you guys been doing the trivia crack stuff on Netflix? It's like it's bad. Don't do it.
Okay. this is what Netflix has been doing with that technology, though, that Choose Your Own Adventure stuff.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's the next season of Black Mirror. It's about a Choose Your Own Adventure streaming service that goes awry.
Great. I did say it's renewed for a fifth season. I meant sixth season. It has already had five seasons.
Yeah.
Variety are also reporting that Disney Plus are moving ahead with a new Daredevil TV show. This is unconfirmed. And so if true, it's unclear if Charlie Cox will return as Matt Murdock from the Netflix Daredevil series. But a more recent report, or I think maybe even announcement, suggests that both Vince D'Onofrio and Charlie Cox will be in the upcoming Echo Marvel TV show on Disney Plus. So it seems pretty likely that if we are getting more Daredevil, it will be with Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock. Does this excite you guys? Were you fans of Charlie Cox's Daredevil?
I definitely watched the first... Was there two or three seasons of that
show? Three, I believe.
I watched the first two and I never bothered with the third. Yeah, it's just very much like there's so many episodes and they're all so long and I just got fed up.
It occurs to me that Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist all had multiple seasons. And whatever their last season was, I didn't watch any of them. I watched... Yeah, I never got around to Luke Cage season 2. I never got around to Jessica Jones season 3. Yeah. That says something about the quality of those shows, unfortunately. meanwhile, Deadline has a bunch of reports, including that Family Guy producer Alex Carter is bringing back 80s/90s sitcom Married with Children as an animated show. Apparently, original cast members Ed O'Neill, Katie Segal, Christina Applegate, and David Faustino, I believe is how you say his name, will return to voice their characters. Were you guys a fan of Married with Children back in the day?
I definitely used to watch it.
I definitely did too. I remember the theme song. Love and Marriage.
Yeah, and it felt very like edgy at the time.
Very, very.
Yeah, but it's not something I'm itching to see come back.
No.
You know what I do want to see come back? What? Mad About You.
Remember
that?
Talking about a Mad About You revival
Didn't it come back? I thought it came back.
Did it come back?
Did it come back and I missed it?
I think it came back and nobody cared.
Well, where was I? No one told me. That show had some incredible episodes. There is one specific episode where they're trying to wean their child off crying in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
and
that
it's
was
all
like
one
a...
take. It's like basically a stage show, and it's amazing. The only reason that it was a cut was because I had to put ads in. Did it come back?
Yeah, it came back in 2019.
I told you, where it was came I? Back.
The 12 episodes.
Wow, well, now I know what I'm watching.
I've never returned.
Are you kidding me?
There.
Where can I watch that?
I don't know.
If a TV revival drops in the streaming services and nobody watches, does it make a sound?
Going back to this Married with Children.
Please cut all of that out.
Revival. No, it's sticking around. I don't know. I'm kind of interested in this. Ed O'Neill, Kay Segal, Christine Applegate have all sort of continued to have pretty strong careers post Married with Children. It'd be interesting if they can bring it back in a way that's sort of like, you know how they do the Brady Bunch movie and it's sort of like you bring it into modern times, you sort of make fun of what that was. If you could do that now, like somehow poke fun at what Married with Children was in the 80s and 90s and that style of sitcom with the original actors, that could be pretty fun and insightful.
I just love
why
the,
animated.
Like, I just love the massive shade you just put on David Faustino's career.
Well, like, as far
they
as
all
I'm
had
aware,
a massive.
As far
careers.
As I'm aware, the only thing I'm really aware of him doing was playing Marco in The Legend of Korra, and beyond that, I'm not sure I've seen him in anything else since. Unless you guys can remember anything else you've seen him in.
No,
that's the son.
So.
I'm guessing that's the son. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly right. Yes.
Yeah. Nah, yeah. Nothing.
HBO have officially announced now that this was originally just a Deadline report, but then I went back and realized they've actually officially announced this now. True Detective Season 4, subtitled Night Country, is in production. This is being showrun by Barry Jenkins. That's right. Got that right. And it will star Jodie Foster.
Oh, yeah.
The synopsis reads, when the long winter night falls in Ennis, Alaska, the six men that operate the Tsalal Arctic Research Station vanished without a trace. To solve the case, Detectives Liz Danvers and Evangeline Navarro will have to confront the darkness they carry in themselves and dig into the haunted truths that lie buried under the eternal ice. Does this interest you?
What has Barry Jenkins done?
Barry Jenkins, probably the most memorable thing from Barry Jenkins is Moonlight. That's the Oscar... winning Moonlight that just beat out La La Land. and most recently, the Underground Railroad TV show, which I haven't seen, actually, sadly. But yeah, I'm interested. Season 3 was good. Wasn't
really
quite season 1, but it was very, very good. It was good. And the idea, I think the thing is as well, I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head, Nick something or other. The original showrunner sounds like he might not be as involved as he was in the first two seasons and maybe even third season. So I think it's more of a Barry Jenkins sort of...
I thought he wasn't involved in the second season.
Pardon?
I thought he wasn't involved in the second season.
No, not the same director. It was the same writer.
Yeah.
Whoever the showrunner was definitely involved in season two. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. True Detective, you would love True Detective to be able to sort of like refine its footing and become... The problem is it's always going to be compared to season one, which is basically a perfect season of television. And it's going to be hard to ever reach that as high. Yes.
And if the people that are involved in the first three seasons aren't really involved, why is it a True Detective show?
I guess it's a brand thing, right? It sets a mood they're going for.
But then it also gets compared to everything True Detective.
True, but so, if Barry Jenkins says, I've got this idea for, or whoever it might be, whoever's writing it goes, I've got this idea for all this sort of noir thriller, HBO, will you make it? And they say, we'll do it, but only if it's a True Detective show because it's going to, the branding's strong. You're not going to say no.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? I think it makes sense. Yeah. Deadline have gone back to reporting that Fargo Season 5 will apparently star Jon Hamm, Jennifer Jason Leigh, and Juno Temple of Ted Lasso fame. We don't really have a lot of details on that yet, but it's nice to know that Fargo Season 5 will be returning. And who doesn't love a bit of Jon Hamm and Juno Temple? Deadline have also reported, this one I'm really interested to hear what you guys think, Baz Luhrmann is recutting his epic drama Australia into a 6-episode Hulu limited series to be called Faraway Downs. How do you guys feel about that?
Faraway Downs, what?
Well, that's the name. That's the name of the homestead or whatever it is. It's called Faraway Downs.
I never watched the movie.
You never saw Australia? Okay.
No, I live here.
I'm guessing Paul did.
I did see it. And I just saw Elvis the other day as well. And both of those films have the same problem that pretty much all his films have, where the first like hour of the film, it's like he snorted a whole bunch of cocaine and just like rips through story, and like there's zooms and like the camera's spinning and it introduces characters and doesn't let you breathe. And then like halfway through, he's like, oh, I'm making a movie. And then he like slows down and starts like actually telling a story and like structuring scenes.
So those first two couple episodes are going to be really good.
Yeah. So I'm really interested to see like how the tonal shift of that film will be in a TV series form when the first hour is a completely different pace than the rest of the film. So
is that true of Australia? I've only seen Australia once, but I thought it started off a little bit slower than that.
No, it's definitely that.
Oh, okay.
It's definitely that. And like, yeah, same with Gatsby, same with
Gatsby, definitely.
It's same with Elvis. They Moulin all have Rouge. That same, they all have that same Romeo like coke fueled first act. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. In cancellation news, the CW has cancelled Riverdale. Its upcoming seventh season will be its last. Fuck yes, says Paul.
I gave up on that show a few seasons ago, and it was one of the best decisions of my whole life. It was like a weight on my life having to watch that show.
How would you like it to end, Paul? What's your pitch?
You know what? That show is so off the rails. Yeah. It's so off the rails that like it could literally be anything. Like,
it was all a dream. Yeah. Someone fell asleep reading an Archie comic.
Has the Sabrina series happened yet? I know they'll be bringing back old mate Sabrina.
So she was in a whole season. I didn't watch it, but
okay, gotcha. Yeah.
What, in Riverdale?
Yeah.
Did they do the crossover?
Yeah.
Yes. Even though Sabrina's been cancelled for a while, they brought back Kieran Shipka, that's her name, I remembered finally, as Sabrina. I'm not sure if it was directly tied to the Sabrina TV show on Netflix or not, or if she was just like playing an alternate version of the character. But yeah,
she was a witch?
I think so. I think where Riverdale is these days, I think it's almost definitely she was a witch, yeah.
When I stopped watching Riverdale, there was like Mothman aliens, and I was like, I can't do it anymore.
This is where we're at.
What? I kind of want to watch it now.
No, you don't. Don't do it. It's a trap.
That's big coming from Paul.
Yeah.
Speaking of shows that you gave up on, it was a great decision. Has anyone been watching the fourth season of Westworld?
I've watched the first two episodes and I'm considering stopping.
Oh, okay. It's good to know I haven't missed anything.
It's just like, at this point, like the first season of Westworld, it had mysteries, but it had a great story. So even if you didn't care about the mysteries, just going on the surface level, you could appreciate it. Now it's just mysteries. So like the first two episodes, I don't know what's happening. I don't know when it's happening. I don't know who the people are. Like you literally don't know who the characters are in it.
I legitimately don't know who is in the bodies. Just because it's Evan Rachel Woods doesn't mean that it's Dolores. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so you don't know who they are. You don't know what time they're in. You don't know where they are. Like, why am I watching? But I might still keep watching. We'll see. I'll give it like an episode or so.
Have they had the musical sequence of Tessa Thompson yet? I know that was... No. I saw that being filmed. Okay. That's the only bit I'm curious to see.
Yeah, poor Tessa Thompson's in that show.
Yeah. There's some good people stuck in that show, unfortunately. I watched the most recent trailer just before it released, and that was the exact problem. I'm like, see, what you could do, and actually the reason that season three sort of, I came back for season three is because I watched the trailer. I'm like, okay, I got the pitch now, right? I understand that we're in the real world, and it's like, what happens next? And I watched the trailer for season four. I'm like, I have no fucking idea what this season could be about, and I'm pretty sure the show doesn't know what it's about, so I'm not going to give it a go. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
The CW has also cancelled their reboot of Legends of the Hidden Temple after one season, which is a shame because I was excited by the idea. For those who don't know, Legends of the Hidden Temple was like a game show that kids played back in the day for people in Australia. Think Amazing, hosted by James Sherry. It was sort of like
that's
a similar sort of
concept. Should be rebooted.
Well, now, unfortunately, the fact that Legends of the Hidden Temple only lasted one season makes it harder than ever for Amazing to be rebooted with adults playing, unfortunately, which I'm really sad about.
I've said this once and I'll say it a thousand times. Only reason I got into my industry is to reboot Amazing.
Well, hurry up then.
I'm trying. It's harder than you think.
How much do you think the
spelling the word
Amazing
reboot is tough? With my
How much do you think it would cost to buy the rights to Amazing?
You don't need to. Channel 7 will make any old guff these days, especially if it's a game show.
You pitch it and they'll have you swinging over like pits of water or something for being a ninja. You don't want Channel 7 in charge of it.
You need to buy it. For which station should be in charge of it then, Liam? Which Australian network?
Stan would be great.
Yeah. That would be great. Yep. That's our pitch. I reckon James Sherry probably owns the rights to it at this point.
Well, he's Maltese as well, like me, so I feel we have a connection.
Literal connections. I'm trying. I say this as a joke, but I'm trying.
How many people that currently work in the Australian TV industry do you reckon have pitched, hey, you should bring Amazing back to James Sherry at some point?
He's probably sick of it. That's why he hasn't done it.
Exactly right. More cancellations. HBO have cancelled sci-fi comedy series Made for Love after 2 seasons.
This one hurt.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were just talking about this last time you're on the podcast, I think.
Yeah, I just finished the latest season last week. And at least it was given an ending that you could interpret as a season finale. It didn't tie off all the loose ends, but it was enough of an ending that I felt somewhat satisfied. But I can totally understand why the show was cancelled. Like, it's very out there. It's strange. If you went in the second season as someone who hadn't watched the first, you would be like, what the actual fuck is going on? But like, for those of us that like stuck with it, it was a really fun and weird and strange ride.
Okay, here's a question for you, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Would you, if it meant you could get a third season of Made for Love, would you sacrifice Upload season 3?
Absolutely not.
Oh, wow. Well, clearly didn't mean much to you then.
Because we made that comparison last time as like Made for Love being the better version of Upload. And yeah, this is just
The better version of Upload is The Good Place, but sure.
Sure, yes. But yeah. HBO have also cancelled historical drama Gentleman Jack after 2 seasons. I think Damask had been watching that and enjoying it quite a bit.
I watched a couple of episodes. Yeah. And I enjoyed it. It was all right.
Okay.
Mum enjoyed it. It made sense.
HBO Max have also cancelled Ridley Scott sci-fi series Raised by Wolves after 2 seasons. Had either of you watched any Raised by Wolves?
Paul, yeah, I've watched all of it. This is another like batshit crazy show that was like so stupid by the end of it that I just like, it was a wonder to behold.
did it go full Westworld? Like, started off cool and then sort of just went off the rails?
Definitely. Like, it started with a really cool, simple concept of like AIs raising human children on an alien world and trying to instill them with like into a society that would be better than what humans could do to begin with. And in the end, it was like giant flying snakes and kids turning into rocks and like fish people kidnapping children in their like chest cavities.
This is meant to be the show getting worse. Sounds pretty rad.
yeah, like it really went balls to the wall, hard sci-fi, and sometimes it could come off incredibly silly, but yeah, it was never boring. I'll give it that.
Cool.
Yeah.
In release date news, Harley Quinn, the animated DC show, is returning to HBO Max for season 3 on July 28th. As far as I'm aware, because I check it pretty often, you still can't watch season 2 of Harley Quinn anywhere in Australia. It is
also, I saw on today on Instagram, sorry to cut you off there, Brod. You were very surprised by that. James Gunn makes a cameo as himself.
Yes, I did see that actually in the trailer for season 3.
Which is interesting.
It is. I enjoyed season 1. I hope I can watch season 2 one day.
Maybe the season three coming out will like make season two come out.
I wonder
if we'll get season three first.
My guess is what will end up happening come the end of the month, or maybe not long after the show finishes airing in the States, season three finishes airing in the States, is that it'll end up on Binge. All three seasons will end up on Binge in Australia, is my guess. It's currently, I think, season one's on Amazon, and they had season two for a while. I think that just be, I don't have a fucking clue. It's really weird. All 8 episodes of Amazon's A League of Their Own adaptation will stream from August 12th. This is pretty much my most anticipated show of the year right now. I'm looking forward to binging that over a weekend. We will definitely be reviewing that as soon as we can get around to that. Are you guys excited for A League of Their Own?
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was announced this week also that Rosie O'Donnell, who was in the original movie, has been cast in the show as a new unknown character. I don't know if that's exciting or not, but
cool.
I think that's pretty cool. Yeah, cool. The next...
It's been filmed though, right? So it's...
They often do that though. They announce casting way after they've actually filmed and stuff like that. Like, cool. It's part of their like build-up marketing and stuff like that.
And you're
that.
Saying that Nick Offerman's not playing Tom Hanks' character.
Not, that's the thing, right? The whole, it's really a loose adaptation. It like takes the core, as far as I'm aware, it takes the core concept, and it's not like it's going to be a beat for beat remake, or even that the characters are necessarily the same. It's like the idea of a women's baseball league is there, and they're still playing the Rockford Peaches, but I don't think that they're any of the characters are the same characters, if that makes sense.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
That's probably good. I like that, because why, you know, mess with something that ain't broke?
Absolutely. The next Star Wars TV show, Andor, will stream its first episode on Disney Plus from August 31st. Cobra Kai Season 5, can you believe that show has 5 seasons, will hit Netflix on September 9th. And the Willow sequel TV series will stream on Disney Plus from November 30th. Have you guys seen the teaser trailer for the new Willow TV show?
I did.
Is that the one that came out like months and months ago?
A couple of months ago. This is the problem. It's been a while since we did one of these. What do you guys think?
I'll probably miss it.
I don't have any, you know, nostalgia for Willow. I don't remember ever watching it as a kid.
I don't think I've ever seen it. The reason I bring it up, I thought the teaser was really good. Like, it, without having any attachment to that series, I was just like, oh, this feels like 80s or 90s, like, fantasy film, the kind of films that we just don't get anymore. That in the vein of a Willow or
the Dark Crystal
Labyrinth,
though,
or Dark Crystal,
that,
stuff like
didn't
that.
Didn't that get a reboot though?
It did, and lots of people really, really liked that. But it was, I think, an expensive show to make, and not enough people watched it. So
I fell asleep in the first episode.
Oh, there you go. So they're not going to make another season of that. But
and when Paul doesn't want to watch it, we stop making it.
Rightly so.
In renewal news, Amazon Prime Video have renewed their uber popular The Boys for a 4th season. Season 3 is currently airing, I believe. Are you guys?
Yes,
it's just finished.
Just finished, is it? Yeah. I have not watched a lot of The Boys, but I keep hearing it's great. I've sort of been holding off on it because I figured one day we'd probably review it ourselves, and we haven't got around to it. How was season 3?
I'm halfway through and I'm loving it.
I got halfway through the first episode and went, oh, I can't watch this right now. I'm not in the right headspace.
It's very full on show.
For anyone at home, this is not a spoiler. The sneeze got me and I was like, okay, I can't really watch this right now.
Yes. Amazing scene.
Only Murders in the Building has been renewed for a season 3. Season 2 of that is definitely currently airing because I've been watching that week to week.
Yeah.
And without talking too much about it, I think I'm enjoying season 2 more than season 1 so far.
Oh, wow.
Maybe watching episode by episode week by week is helping. But it feels a little more confident, or a little, what's a better word for this? A little more, professional is not the right word, but just better put together, I think, so far. I'm quite enjoying season 2. Have you guys watched any of season 2 yet?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I think it's weaving all the characters into the mystery a bit more, which I think is making that difference. Like, everyone feels like they have more purpose this season.
I also thought the most recent episode, which by the time this comes out will be the 2 episodes back, I think, but the episode about the victim that they did most recently was really, like, helpful for grounding my interest in the murder. And, like, I know, did a lot. I just thought it was really effective, and I was like, cool, if they're doing more of this sort of stuff, this could be a really fun season. Yeah.
I've not watched it yet, but I should, because you asked me to come and talk about it again.
Yeah, whenever we get around to review it. Well, you did the first season. Well, you're going to show up for the season 2. How dare you?
That's what I do. Like, Sopranos
like
all
you
over
did
again.
The Sopranos, yeah. Netflix has renewed sketch comedy show I Think You Should Leave for a third season. Are you guys fans of this?
This is one of my favorite shows of all time. I don't think I've watched. I don't think I have rewatched a show, any other show, as much as I have. Maybe The Simpsons and this are the two shows I've rewatched the most.
Wow.
Okay, yeah. Paul, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
If you could get another season of You Think You Should Leave, would you give up season 3 of Upload?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, wow. Shit.
Yeah.
What is it? I Think You Should Leave. What is. Is that.
It's an absurdest sketch comedy show on Netflix.
It's a Tim Robinson sketch comedy show on Netflix.
Is that the one where he dresses up in like a
hot dog suit
mask?
And
then
like,
he gets, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, I've got too much shit on
funny.
Me.
Yeah, it's quite funny. Yeah. I have not watched it, but that was funny, that one thing I saw on YouTube. There you go, there's my hot take.
You need to watch, like, the episodes go for, like, 10 minutes each. It's the best thing you could do for your life. Go watch it.
Oh, Jesus.
Netflix have also renewed F1 docuseries Drive to Survive for
at least
two more seasons. Now, Liam, I've never known you to be interested in cars or racing or anything like that. Why is this so exciting for you?
I was never. And then all my mates told me that I should definitely watch Drive to Survive. And then I binged all of Drive to Survive. And now I'm kind of obsessed with Formula One. So it's really good.
And watching these fucking international races every 2 weeks.
It is ruining my sleeping patterns. It was already ruined. But it is... Yeah, it is... I love it. And it's... Yeah, Drive to Survive is great, and all I can think all season of the F1 is, this is going to make a great episode of Drive to Survive based on all the stuff that's happened in this season, guys. So,
I should stop watching Formula One alongside you like I half do and just wait for the season of Drive to Survive that talks about it.
You should actually just watch the whole docuseries.
HBO Max's 70s set female comedy Minx has been renewed for a second season. Everyone I know who's watched that has really enjoyed season one, so that's exciting. They also renewed Bill Hader's dark comedy Barry for a fourth season of 8 episodes. Paul, you started watching Barry recently, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
What did you think of season one?
Look, I don't think there's anything wrong with this show.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
And I know everybody's going to hate me as usual. You know, Paul, he has shit taste in everything, blah, blah. But...
Paul, I think you should leave.
Look, I probably will keep going, but it's one of those shows where I kind of have to force myself to. It's not a show where I'm like, ooh, I got to watch the next episode. Oh, that blew me away. It was like, okay, everything in that episode was solid. They didn't do anything bad. I guess I'll watch the next one. Everyone loves this show. That was kind of my attitude watching the first season. So, yeah. I know. I'm shit. I'm
Paul,
a terrible person.
I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
I started watching Barry recently because I had never seen it.
Yeah.
Did not grab me. The first couple of episodes did not grab me, and I just couldn't. It just wasn't doing anything for me. I was bored.
You're both cancelled.
Anyway, cut that bit out. No one can know I agree with Paul.
HBO also finally renewed Our Flag Means Death for a second season. Took them fucking long enough.
I'm excited about.
I reckon I know why.
It was just... Taika Waititi is the busiest man in Hollywood, and they're like, you got time, mate, for this? And he's like, I'll find time. I think that's what's happened. They definitely would have wanted to.
I wondered, it was getting a lot, like, they were talking about how it was performing, particularly like social media-wise, it really took hold. I wonder whether it was more of a negotiation thing. I wonder if it was like, we're keen to renew it, but you're going to get the same deal, or whether the creators were like, no, we want to do this, and we want to go better, we want a higher budget sort of thing, like negotiation, that sort of thing. But whatever the reason was, I'm glad someone came to their fucking senses and we're going to get a second season of that show.
It does feel like it's probably a cheap show to make. Like, it didn't seem to have a huge budget.
It didn't look expensive, I'll put it that way.
No, it definitely looked like a Hercules or a Xena, if I think about budget-wise, you know?
No, because but they were actually filmed way. Outside and not in front of those volume fucking... not even green screens, are they? They're like virtual sets or whatever.
Is that where they film this?
Yeah. When they're on the boat and it looks super fake, it's because it was in front of giant LCD monitors or LED monitors.
Right. Well, they need to pay their 3D renderers projectors more. That's what they need to do.
Yeah, I agree. Apple TV Plus musical series Schmigadoon is getting a second season. I haven't watched Schmigadoon, but I think Liam...
Yeah, I recently watched it. Loved it. Thought it was great.
Yeah, I fucking love this show. I'm so glad it's coming back.
Don't know how they're going to... Yeah. I thought it was a great, like, one season, you know, that's all you need. Maybe different characters?
Maybe different musical genre.
Ooh, yeah. Let's get a Rent type of... Or they go to an alleyway and they're all dressed up as cats. Yeah, let's do it.
I didn't put either of these stories in the rundown, but it's worth mentioning. Like, the idea of limited series doesn't mean jack shit anymore. Disney's already talking about, and Hayden Christensen and Ewan McGregor already talking about wanting to come back for a second season of Obi-Wan, which is meant to be a limited series. Apparently, there was going to be a trilogy of Obi-Wan films that didn't get made and got turned into the TV show because the Han Solo movie did so poorly at the box office. And then... 9 Perfect Strangers, the Nicole Kidman show, which is meant to be a limited series because it's based on a book, is being potentially turned into a second season as well, the report is. So it's like, if something's popular enough, it doesn't matter if it only had one season of story in it. They'll find a way to squeeze a second season out of it. Yes, Lamb? You look like you just farted and smelt your own fart. What the fuck?
Yeah, I was just thinking about Obi-Wan and how they don't need to make another season of that. Like...
They need more ways
from their mistakes.
They need more ways to like break the continuity of Star Wars.
It's like it's just upsetting.
Maybe that's the ultimate goal. Maybe they can form enough contradictions inside that there's going to be some sort of like logical canonical implosion that like reset Star Wars and they can reboot
there's a
the
flashpoint
series.
Of
yeah.
But in Star Wars, great.
Right.
And that's how Palpatine came back. It all makes sense, everyone. Somehow
Disney got so greedy that Palpatine came back. FX comedy What We Do in the Shadows has been renewed for a 5th and 6th season. So that's a double season renewal. So well done to. That's Taika Waititi as well.
So we were just talking about Star Wars and how Brun
he's writing Taika a Star Wars show at the moment. Yes, go on, Paul.
I love What We Do in the Shadows. I'm really excited.
Is it the fourth season currently airing? Is that right?
It's about to start airing.
Very good.
That's so great.
In other news, Samantha will be back for the second season of And Just Like That, as more text messages, apparently. King Control is not coming back to the show. There's been plenty of talk about if she would or she wouldn't, and just as Paul and Damask both said, there's no way she's coming back. But they are going to keep going with the Samantha text messaging thing, because apparently the show doesn't work without her. Who would have thought? Almost like they shouldn't have made the show at all, but go on.
So remember when we were reviewing the show and we were kind of talking about what it would need to do to be better in season 2?
Yeah,
we had like all these suggestions, and then we're like, hopefully the showrunner has listened to like the criticisms. So in the interview where he revealed she'd be coming back as text messages, I watched that whole interview. And he pretty much defended every choice he made in season 1.
Fuck.
He will be doubling down on everything in season 2. Like, he loves Che as a character. He fucking loves Che. So, just putting
Che's
that out
not
there.
The one that worries me that much. It's Miranda that's the one that
really annoyed
me.
He loves the journey that they both went on.
I sat down. My housemate was watching this. I sat down and watched the first episode with her, and I guessed the storylines for 3 of the characters. And I came back at the end of the season. I said, what happened? She's like, well, she started a podcast and now she's gay and all this. I was like, Jesus Christ. It's so obvious from that first episode. It's not good writing.
It's not good writing.
Because I came up with it.
While nothing is set in stone, Scrubs cast member Donald Faison suggests a revival movie could be in the works. Paul, are you a fan of Scrubs?
Like, I watched episodes here and there, but I can't say I was a fan. Sure. Like, I didn't hate it, but I'm not a fan.
Liam, are you a fan of Scrubs?
I was, yeah. I was a fan of Scrubs. And then I rewatched it over lockdown, and it's got some issues. But I'm a fan of Bill Lawrence and what he's doing.
Yes.
And I think that with a 2020 whatever Bill Lawrence sensibility yep. in a post-Ted Scrubs,
Lasso.
Yeah, post-Ted Lasso sensibility, mm-hmm. a Scrubs renewal, you know, revive, you know, some sort of reunion
or whatever. Yeah,
I don't think I'd want any more seasons. I think a movie would be interesting, but I don't know what you would do. It's very much needs a good reason, but yeah, I think that could be good.
I think I was a fan of the show as well. I've watched the entire thing through at least once before. I think there is actually some really strong stuff in Scrubs, but there is parts of it that have aged horrifically is probably the best word I can think of.
That's the best way to talk.
Absolute horror show. Some of the stuff that's in there that shouldn't be in there but was.
It's funny watching it again and realizing that the characters I like the most are Kelso and Jordan because they're mean to everybody and they have no discrimination with that reason.
Sure.
Where in the show, everyone else is sexist or homophobic or one specific, like Dr. Cox specifically, is just like it's hard to watch some of the stuff, the way he treats people.
The way
he
treats people now, the sort of stuff that would now just be considered fucking bullying in the workplace and extremely inappropriate. And like, yeah, absolutely. Anyway, that's, you know, reflecting on a show that's like 20 years old now, something like that. The idea of it coming back, I think, is a bad one in a general sense. I don't think it needs to. It already tried to continue itself with whatever that extra season of Scrubs was. It's done and dusted, and it ended in a great place. The only thing that makes me even slightly optimistic about if they ever did it is the fact that, yes, I think... what's the name of the showrunner again, Liam? You just said it.
Bill Lawrence.
Bill Lawrence, thank you. Who went on to do Cougar Town, which a cult favorite, that one. And then Ted Lasso has obviously been so good and so successful that... if they really felt like they had a story to tell, maybe it could be something good. But it should exist, probably not.
No, it needs the right reasons, and I need to be convinced heavily that it's the right reason.
And finally, it was announced that the star of Rise of Skywalker, Babu Frick, will appear in Mandalorian Season 3. It was also announced that The Mandalorian will return to Disney Plus in February of 2023 and that the announced Ahsoka TV show will be released next year as well.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Paul, what have you been watching?
What have I been watching? I've been watching a lot because I had COVID. But yeah, I want to just shout out some things that maybe not a whole lot of people are talking about. First is a show called The Lake on Amazon Prime. Have either of you guys seen The Lake?
I have not seen The Lake. Tell me about The Lake.
So The Lake is a new Canadian comedy. And I feel like the creators of this show really were looking at Schitt's Creek and wanting to replicate that.
Schitt's Lake?
Piss Lake.
Fist Lake, yes. probably the most recognizable face in this is Julia Stiles, which we all know from 10 Things I Hate About You.
We certainly and, do.
Born Identity. It's about a gay guy who had sex with his female best friend in high school, and they had a baby, which then they put up for adoption. And then now she's like a senior in high school, and he went away to Australia, came back to Canada, and then has decided to take her to the lake that he grew up on for school holidays and reconnect with her. But then when he gets to the lake, he finds out that his stepsister, who he's always hated, has kind of taken control of his old family home on the lake, and he decides to make it his mission to take the family cabin back. So,
high stakes.
Yeah.
High stakes television. Yeah.
So, it's like a rivalry between these step siblings who are completely awful to each other and are constantly like scheming against each other. It's like a super fun, lightweight show.
My next question is: is it a comedy? I was having a hard time trying to pick the genre there. Yeah,
yeah. It has its dramatic moments, but it's primarily a comedy, and probably not as sitcom-y as Schitt's Creek. But it's just a very charming, easy to watch show set on like a beautiful Canadian lake, The humor in it is quite filthy. It's not family viewing by any stretch.
Sure.
But a super fun watch. I think it's eight half-hour episodes.
That's the starting point right there.
Yeah. So I would definitely say give it a go. It's always fun to see things that aren't American come out. So see what the Canadian view on what a show should be is. So
The Lake sounds good on Amazon, you said? Amazon
yeah.
Prime? Cool.
Yeah. And
I'm saying people brought you Upload.
The Lake. Good point, Liam. Good point.
Shut up.
Poor Bitsy.
These are the same people that were bringing you A League of Their Own, so now I'm worried.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have said it's from the network that brought you The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is also
correct.
Yeah,
yeah, yes. Good point. That's true.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. So being a gay guy growing up as a teenager in the 90s and early 2000s, I think anyone in Australia can relate to staying up and watching SBS late at night to see gay shit because nothing else had gay shit on it. And probably the main source of that was a show called Queer as Folk.
Yes.
There was originally a British version, and then there was a US remake, which was the one that I definitely grew up on. Mm-hmm. I remember sneaking, having all my lights off in my bedroom and watching it so my parents wouldn't know I'm watching a show about gay guys. It was a very informative show at the time, and it showed a lot of stuff that no one else was really showing at the time. The network Peacock in America has just rebooted it, and it's now on Stan in Australia. There's a new season of Queer as Folk. This is a really interesting show. I watched the entire season in a couple of days while I had COVID. And I can't say I didn't enjoy it. I did enjoy it. But every single character in this show is a piece of shit. Everybody is an asshole, a self-centered, narcissistic asshole that make infuriating decisions. that just make you want to jump into the screen and like slap him and go, what are you doing? But it's really interesting, and like the representation is like nothing else. Like, this is a super diverse show, and it's very dedicated to showing, you know, every aspect of queer life that's out there. Well, it's trying to. And it has a very interesting framing device. So it starts off just like the original Queer as Folk, and then in the end of the last episode, in the end of the first episode, slight spoilers to the inciting incident of the show, all the characters are at the gay club, and then a shooter walks into the club, and some of the characters don't survive, and the characters that do are having to deal with that and the, you know, all the things surrounding that for the rest of the season. So that's kind of the big differentiator between this and the original Queer as Folk. So it does a bit with that concept. Something's good, something's bad. But yeah, definitely interesting show. I think if you're queer in any way, you're going to want to watch it just to see what they do and see how the community is represented in 2022. But yeah, have either of you guys, are you familiar with the franchise at all? Or?
I'm familiar with the franchise because, you said, it was on SBS, and like, I wasn't watching it for the same reasons you were, though I was sometimes staying up late to see what would be on. It was usually
Neon Genesis.
There was Neon Genesis, and there was South Park, and then if you stay a little later, there may have been some boobies. There was reasons to be watching SBS.
I remember when Mum and Dad gave me my first TV, they said, you can't watch SBS. And I said, oh, okay. Of course I was watching SBS.
So I definitely came across Queer as Folk, at least the ads for it. I don't know if I ever really watched, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
So I guess the questions I have then... So did you say you've watched both the original British show and the US remake?
Yes.
Should this have been a Queer as Folk revival? Does it make sense for this to be another version of Queer as Folk, do you think?
In the last episode, there's like a slight cameo that suggests that this is in the same universe as the British original show.
Oh, interesting. Even though this is a Peacock show.
Yes.
Huh, interesting.
As American? The characters?
Yeah, so this is set in New Orleans.
Right. Oh.
But yeah, there is a slight cameo because one of the characters thinks about moving to London, and he loads up Grindr and uses the like search function to see who would be where he's going to live. And one of the characters from the original pops up.
Huh. Interesting.
So
is that
more of an Easter egg?
Let's take out that very minor detail for a second. Yeah. If you don't include that, do you think it makes sense for this to be a Queer as Folk revival, essentially?
Yeah. So I guess the main driver of the story of Queer as Folk in the original, it was about Charlie Hunnam. He was a school kid. He gets a fake ID and goes to a gay club and picks up a man that's much older than him, and then that's kind of like he becomes part of the group as the young guy that's under the older guy's wing. Mm-hmm. And a similar thing happens in this one. So it's like a young guy.
It's almost a reboot in that sense.
He goes to the club, but in this version, he goes to the club to be a drag queen at the club. Mm. And his mum is okay with it. She's actually encouraging him to go to the club. But then during his first performance, the shooter comes in, mm-hmm. and the older guy, instead of them having sex as the inciting influence, the older guy saves him from the shooter.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I think once you find those sort of hooks that like, that connected a bit better to what at least like, okay, this is a twist on that story that you think you know. I think that that makes sense now. Interesting. Cool. Were you aware that Russell T Davies was the creator of the original Queer as Folk? Yeah.
Yes.
Is he involved? Was he involved in the American remake or this version at all?
I think both of them just have inspired by credits.
Gotcha. I was wondering, because obviously he's been, as we were saying earlier, has been had a bit of a hot streak going recently with It's a Sin and then some other stuff. I can't remember what that was called. There's another show leading up to it as well. Another to Who. Yeah, interesting. Okay. Yeah. Cool. That actually sounds interesting. Though that was the other thing I was going to say. The thing about everyone being assholes.
Yeah.
Is a thing that happens a lot in TV. Like the show about those people who are all awful. And it's, we've talked about this before, but it's such a hard thing to get right. How to have a show full of people that are all insufferable, but make it still entertaining and you want to keep watching them. And this sounds like it was semi-successful, but not completely successful.
Yeah, I think shows where it's successful in doing that, the show itself is aware of their assholishness and the show itself is kind of judging them for it. Whereas this show feels almost complicit. Like, it's like, how cool are these guys? They don't give a fuck about anyone. Like, that's where I kind of felt like a bit of a distance from the characters.
Gotcha.
But what's another show that it does work in?
Well, the one that comes to mind right now is Succession. It works extremely well in Succession.
Yes.
Every single one of those characters is in some way the biggest piece of shit you've ever met in your life.
And yet you still want to name your dog after one.
And you still want to name your dog after one of them.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia is another interesting
perfect.
Another
version, yes.
Think of that, yeah.
Absolutely. But Community, I would even argue on some level, everyone's sort of like, it's they're not necessarily likable to begin with. Though you do come around to that, and that changes a lot as the season goes.
Seinfeld,
good example. What's an example?
Friends, but because they just aren't idiots. They're not aware of it.
Well, I'm trying to think of like where it doesn't work. And there are shows we've watched where I'm just like, I don't care about any of these people because they're all pieces of shit.
Upload.
Basically, yeah.
This podcast.
What else have you been watching, Paul?
So I want to shout out a new Apple TV Plus sitcom called Loot, starring Maya Rudolph. Have either of you guys started this one yet?
No, but I did see a clip. There was a clip that got around of her doing a hot, what's it called? A hot wings? What's that thing?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
There's like a YouTube show where people answer.
What's it called? Hot Ones. It's called Hot Ones.
Yeah. Hot Ones. Yeah, her doing a Hot Ones interview. And
Sean Evans.
Very funny.
Yes. Very funny. That is definitely like the comedy highlight of the season so far. Okay. I'm really enjoying the show. It's just a very breezy, easy to watch show. It's about a woman. She's married to a tech millionaire played by Adam Scott. And then it finds out he's cheating on her. So she divorces him, and in the divorce, she gets like an $87 billion settlement. And she starts off being all depressed. Then she realizes like she has all these like businesses, and she's got a foundation, a charitable foundation. So she decides to start working full time in her charitable foundation. And when she goes there, like it's all, you know, down to earth people, and she's like this larger than life billionaire. And it's kind of like a fish out of water story. It stars Michaela J. Rodriguez, who was the star of Pose. Mm-hmm. And so it's lovely to see her in something else.
Absolutely. I need to go back and watch Pose season 2 and 3. Yeah.
Yeah. The whole cast is like just full of lovable comedians that you've seen in everything else. And yeah, it's just a solid show. Everything on Apple looks really expensive and well shot as well.
Apple TV Plus. So this continues their sort of streak of good shows?
Yeah, though I feel like the commentary around this, like the reviews of this one, haven't been as strong as some other things. I've seen a lot of people criticize it for not being deep enough because it is about like wealth inequality. And it's like, it's a very breezy sitcom. So if you're expecting depth, if you're expecting to really go hard on these issues, you probably won't like it. But if you just want like a fun half-hour sitcom, like I would highly recommend this show.
There's some Parks and Rec and 30 Rock alumni involved, which explains the cast.
Yeah.
And also the enjoyableness of it.
My Apple TV Plus subscription, free subscription, finally ran out. after I reckon I got over a year and a half out of it somehow. There was always ways to extend it. I think I want it back, though, because there is things on there I've been meaning to watch, and there keeps being good stuff on there. The Loot, I believe, I didn't include this in the news either, but I think it's already been renewed for a second season, which Apple has been really good at giving shows at least a season two for the most part, with maybe one or two little exceptions here and there.
That's the other renewal news was Acapulco.
Did get a second season? I missed that too.
Yeah, they renewed it for a second season, and I don't know anyone who's watched it apart from the people I've forced to watch it. So I'm really glad it got a second season, because that's another really fun half hour sitcom on Apple TV Plus.
And I believe Maya Rudolph and Natasha Lyonne have a production company now. They're doing an animated show that they're both starring in, but they've also now signed like an exclusive deal for TV shows and animated shows and stuff like that with Apple as well, which is pretty exciting too. So
nice.
I don't know, Apple keep kicking goals with their content, so that's pretty cool. Even if it's got less, it seems to be, as we talked about before, it seems to be high quality generally, so that's exciting for Apple TV Plus. What else have you been watching, Paul?
I want to shout out a couple of streaming movies that I really enjoyed. The first one is a movie called Fire Island, which is on Disney Plus in Australia and internationally, and Hulu in America. So this is a film written by Bowen Yang, who also stars in it. It has Joel Kim Booster as well, the stand-up comedian, who's also in Loot as well. This is a gay rom-com. So it's a adaptation of Pride and Prejudice, but set on Fire Island, which is a island just off the coast of New York City, which is where all the gay people go for summer in America. So, it's like pretty much an island that's completely gay, no straight people on it. And, so it's a really fun setting for a film, really great cast, completely cast by queer actors. Margaret Cho's in this as well. Really sweet, genuinely funny, really well shot as well. It's a really beautiful film, and I think it's a Fox Searchlight production, so probably before all the Disney stuff went down, it was probably meant for a cinema release, I'm guessing. But if you want like a queer twist on your normal rom-coms, I would definitely recommend Fire Island.
On this theme of queer rom-coms, this is a couple of months old now as well. I think this came out maybe a week or two after our last off-topic hot topic. Did you see the trailer for Billy Eichner's Bros?
Yes, I'm very, very excited about that.
That was a heck of a trailer.
Yeah, it looks
great. I can't remember the last time I've seen any sort of rom-com trailer that made me go, I actually really want to see that. It's been a long, long, long time. Unless it's been like, there's a cringe factor to it. Like, wow, that's going to be so bad it might be good to watch. Yeah. It legitimately was like, this looks really funny and I'm keen to see it.
And it's great. Like these, so Bros will be the first ever major studio release.
Universal Pictures,
Queer rom-com.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. Like this and Fire Island both came out in the same year, and it's kind of setting this new trend, because both of those films are completely cast by queer actors. Like nobody in the cast is straight. And I was listening to an interview with Joel Kim Booster, and he was talking about how great that was, and he kind of lumped, there's an Amazon rom-com as well that did the same thing called My Fake Boyfriend. Do not watch that one. That is fucking terrible.
There was that Christmas one that came out Netflix last year as well, wasn't
Single
there?
All the Way.
Single All the Way?
Yep. And there was another one the year before with Fran Drescher as well. That was another queer Christmas movie, yeah.
Wasn't there another women's queer rom-com that came out recently as well?
With Happiest Season.
That was Christmas too.
Yeah, Kristen Stewart, yeah.
That's right, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And that's a fun one as well. I enjoyed that.
So that was the thought, is like there is a bit of a trend at the moment, which is great. Like, let's make this a thing. Let's make this the norm. And I haven't seen much of any of those. I've seen Single All the Way, and it was a Netflix rom-com.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, equal rights to make a rom-com as well, no matter who you are. But yeah. Bros legitimately looks good.
Like, yeah, and I would recommend Fire Island. I think it's a genuinely charming rom-com. If you want, like, a breezy rom-com, you can't do much worse. And I want to shout out another Apple...
You can't do much worse, or you can do much worse? I think you can do much worse is what you're trying to
say,
right? You
can do much worse.
You can do much worse.
And I just want to shout out another Apple TV Plus pickup, which was a film called Cha Cha Real Smooth, which was the winner at Sundance, I think, last year. So Apple TV bought it for a record amount.
This is basically how you win Academy Awards now. You buy your films after a bidding war at Sundance and Cannes and hope that it does well enough to win you Oscars.
Yeah, and I feel like this one, I don't know if it's going to pull a Coda and win Best Picture, but I feel like it will get some attention. The film that actually came to mind the most is Juno. Like, you know when we all went and watched Juno and everyone loved it, and then, like, a few years later, then it wasn't cool to like it anymore and everyone, like, turned on it?
Yeah, I was never cool, so I continued to like Juno, but go on.
Yeah, so I feel like we're still somewhat in the allowed to like Cha Cha Real Smooth stage, but I have seen smatterings of the hate already on Twitter, so it's not long until everyone starts turning on it.
Do you feel like, though, what's the difference between when Juno came out and when a film comes out now is that, like, you have the initial praise, then you have the backlash, but then it's not too long until there's the backlash to the backlash.
Yeah.
And it's like, eventually it all just becomes mud and it doesn't matter. You can love it or hate it, no one cares anymore.
Well, this is one of the most, like, genuinely heartwarming films that I've seen in a long time. Cool. I laughed, I cried, it's really great. The guy that stars in it, he wrote and directed it as well. This is his second film, and he's going to be huge. The film also stars Leslie Mann and... I've forgotten her name. What's her name from 50 Shades of Grey?
Oh, yeah, her, yes.
Yeah. I feel terrible. I'm terrible gay for not remembering her name. It's about a kid. He's kind of in this stage of his life where he doesn't know what he wants to do, and he's kind of feeling adrift, and he takes his brother to a bar mitzvah and then becomes kind of like the party starter at the party because he noticed, like, none of the kids are dancing or having fun. So he decides to, like, that he's going to start the party and get everyone dancing. And all the mums at the party see that, and they all demand that he's going to do that for all their kids' bar mitzvahs as well.
Okay.
And then, he falls in love with one of the mums, and it goes from there.
It's very Juno.
Yeah. So this is like, it's so, I can't understate how much this is so heartwarming. Like, I just cried so much, like happy tears in this film. I just want everyone to watch it. Like, I told Brendan to watch it, and my co-host, the Swapcast, he watched it and loved it as well. I really think you both will enjoy this film.
And this is on Apple again?
It's on Apple.
Damn it. Cool. Another reason to go on. Yeah. We're going to get on that family plane going. Dakota Johnson, is that what you were trying to say?
Dakota Johnson. Yeah, sorry. She really loves limes. So, you don't know the limes thing?
No.
YouTube Dakota Johnson limes after this. You'll thank me later.
Yeah. Is that something to do with that Vogue?
The Architectural Digest.
Oh, I think I have seen that, actually. Yeah. I think about it. Yeah. Yes.
So that's what I've been watching.
Excellent. You did mention there was a reality TV show, but there's even some stuff. Yeah, go on. Tell me about this reality TV show first. There was something else I wanted to ask you about too.
Okay. I want to shout out a reality TV show that came out on Amazon Plus called Lovestruck High. Have either of you seen this?
No.
So this is a reality TV show narrated by Lindsay Lohan as her character from Mean Girls. And
what? Who allowed that?
And she...
I mean, you have my attention.
So what it is they've kind of melded a reality show and an early 2000s teen film together. So what they've done is got a whole bunch of British 20-somethings, put them in an American high school setting, and then, like, assign them all, like, their roles as, like, Queen Bee and, like, the jock and whatever, and then put them in, like, stereotypical teen movie scenarios, like a house party or cheerleading tryouts and homecoming dance and all these kind of things. And
it
then,
sounds like the Stanford experiment, like the Stanford prison experiment. Like,
but then but it's a reality dating show. So
that doesn't change my feelings. It still sounds like a
so clearly the winners at the end will be the prom king and queen. That's like, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. So exactly that. Yes. So
it's right to self.
but it's a very inclusive. So it could also be prom king and king or queen and queen.
Sure.
So yeah, that's the kind of cool thing about it, is like, you never know who's going to end up with who, because like everybody's kind of fluid in this show. But it's a very strange show, because I was like very much on board with the concept. It like sounded really fun. I love like all the Mean Girls stuff and the sound. Like, it's very like they've dressed all the people in the show in early 2000s clothes. All the music
is what Gen Z's doing anyway. So just make the shop with their wardrobe going.
But yeah, like the music is like, the soundtrack is all like the hits of our youth. But because it's so contrived, it also feels incredibly staged. Like, because they're in school, but like they're not doing school. Like, they're not going to class and learning maths and science or whatever.
All in their 20s?
Yes.
Right. So that also tracks with the early 2000s, 20-year-olds playing teenagers. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. This is perfect. So, yeah, they'll be like going to their lockers and like hanging in the hallways. And like, well, why are you doing that? Because you're not actually going to class. Because
the producers told them to.
Well, I mean, that's what every reality TV show is like, but this is more obvious in this show.
Yes. And then there's like really weird moments that it almost feels like you're watching a porno, because it'll be like they're doing like life. Learning to be like lifesavers at the club, at like the swimming pool, and then like they're doing mouth to mouth, and it turns into makeout sessions, and like the teachers will be there like clapping them along, and all the teachers are like super sexy model looking people. It's a very bizarre show.
So this is on SBS? Is that what you're saying?
I need to get Damask onto this one. I want to take on this.
Yeah, she would love it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I recommended this to someone and they messaged me back. I couldn't get through the first episode. So then I never, I haven't like forced anyone else to watch it. But
that's when you know you're onto something good, Paul. Something you love.
But, yeah, I don't know if I can recommend this, but I also want to recommend this, so I don't know.
I'm intrigued enough to try and check it out, honestly.
Yeah.
This is the right sort of content for off-topic, hot-topic, so I'm glad you're bringing it to the show. Thank you.
I mean, I love The Circle. Like, that's
true.
Like, so, yeah.
Before we move on to what Liam's been watching, I'm surprised you haven't brought up, like, the fact that you've seen the new Jurassic Park or Jurassic World movie.
Oh, yes.
You've seen Top Gun Maverick.
Lightyear
was the other one. I haven't seen any of those three movies yet. I haven't had time. Other stuff going on. Quickly take us through your thoughts on those three major releases that neither Liam or I have somehow seen, which is really unlike us.
Top Gun, I'm not going to say anything new that everyone else on Earth isn't saying right now. It's amazing. Go watch it.
I need to do that soon, Liam.
Yeah, we should just go. What are you doing on the weekend? We'll just go all three. Just go see all three of these instead of
Jurassic World Dominion.
I've not seen Jurassic World Dominion.
So Jurassic Park is my all-time favorite movie.
Is that right?
I love it more than any other movie.
I don't blame you. It's in my top five films of all time. It's incredible.
Yes. I've seen it so many times.
Did you see it on IMAX in 3D?
I didn't.
Oh, that was so good.
It was like When I went thinking, oh, this will be novel. And then the first, you know, the first shot is like just the leaves and the, and the sky. And I was like, oh shit, this is great. It was that shot. And then I was like, this is so good. They should do this for every movie.
When the hunter guy gets taken by the velociraptors, it felt more horrific because I felt like I could see more because I could just see through the plant.
Do you know what it did? It just made details I haven't really noticed stand out before just because there was like, there was perspective or there was like distance between them. It's just, that's seriously all it was. But it just made a already fantastic film just a different experience watching it. If it ever comes back, run.
I will do it.
It doesn't need to be a 3D, but it was legitimately good.
That was a good reference.
Yeah. So I actually love The Lost World, and I didn't like it at the time, but rewatching Jurassic Park 3, I think it's actually a lot of fun.
Is that only because you're comparing it to Jurassic World series?
I think when Jurassic World and Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom came out, I was so like hyped up for new Jurassic Park movies that I kind of let a lot slide. Before Dominion, I rewatched World and Fallen Kingdom, and I have to say, like, World is still like, I had a fun time with it. It's not anywhere near the originals, but I had a fun time with it. Fallen Kingdom, I actually liked a lot less on my rewatch. But it's still not an absolute disaster. Jurassic World Dominion is a fucking train wreck. I hated it. It probably will be my most hated film of the year, just purely because of what potential they wasted with this film. Mm-hmm. It spits on the legacy of Jurassic Park. The fact that it got the original characters and shoved them into this fucking storyline angers me so much. The fact that we got a new Jurassic Park film and it's about fucking locust plagues makes me so angry. It boils my blood. Like, everything about this film is undercooked. It baffles the mind how this script made it to the screen. It just horrific, and it just makes me so angry. I can't even talk succinctly about this film because it just angers my blood. Please don't go watch it.
Thank you, Paul. That's what I wanted.
I can't believe you didn't have that prepared.
Yeah,
he
had that loaded in the chamber. He said it
a couple of times. Yeah. Wow.
I just had to, you know, cock it for him so he could pull the trigger.
And Lightyear was fun. It's probably like mid-tier Pixar.
Mid-tier's not bad. Mid-tier for Pixar tends to be pretty good.
Yeah, it's definitely...
Is it worth seeing at the cinemas?
It does have some nice visual moments. It's actually, like, visually, it's what you expect from Pixar.
Sure.
And it's like full widescreen cinemascope. It takes advantage of being like a cinematic movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think viewing it, they frame the film as the film that Andy watched
mm-hmm.
to make him a fan of Buzz Lightyear.
Mm-hmm.
In that context, it makes no sense at all.
Oh, okay.
But as its own thing, it's a fun movie. But if you think about it in terms of like the way it fits into what we've known about Buzz Lightyear, what we know about the time frame that Andy was supposed to watch Buzz Lightyear in, it makes no sense.
So I guess my next question is, like, I was asking before, should Queer as Folk, this new show, be a Queer as Folk show? Does it sort of earn that? Should this be a Buzz Lightyear film? Or if you just made the character not Buzz Lightyear and took out the catchphrases that make him Buzz Lightyear that we remember from Toy Story, would it alter the fabric of the movie enough?
I think it would have made it a stronger film.
So do you think this is a cynical, like, we want to make this sci-fi movie, but it will do better at the box office if we call it Lightyear, so let's make it a Lightyear film?
Well, apparently, according to the filmmakers, it was the opposite of that. it was the genesis of this film is like, I wonder what the film was that Andy loved. And then that's how this film got built. But to me, that makes no sense. When you watch the film, I feel like you'll have a lot of the same thoughts as what I do.
Interesting.
Because like thinking about it, it's like, yeah, that doesn't track. Especially like there's some big twists at the end that completely make no sense in terms of what we know about the character.
Interesting.
Does it have...
You've actually intrigued me enough to want to get
like a lot of like modern references that would also not make sense in terms of...
Not modern references. It is very inclusive in like...
It's modern sensibilities, right?
Yeah. So like, obviously, it made big news that this film has been banned in several Middle Eastern countries because it features a same-sex relationship in it. Okay. And thinking about big sci-fi films, family films from 1995... I don't think any of them would have been released with a lesbian relationship in it.
Interesting. But do you think
but it's a fantasy world. Like, does that, like...
But the world that Andy lives in...
is still a fantasy. I don't think it's exclusively the idea that... Yeah, exactly. Like, why couldn't his world have been a bit more inclusive than our 90s was?
Look, I'm not upset. Like, I'm not upset that this inclusion has happened in the film. I don't think... But I also think, like... I don't know. I don't know. It just brings up those questions because, like, I feel like in the Toy Story universe, the only thing that was fantastical was the fact that the toys came to life. Everything about it was supposed to be the grounded world that we live in.
No, but you're suggesting that the idea the 90s could have been more inclusive is too far-fetched to
well, be, but toys coming to life is fine.
Do you know what? As a queer person growing up in the 90s, seeing that in a major tentpole film was as fantastical as my toys coming to life.
Fair enough.
I cannot argue
at all with that. Yeah. Point taken. Let's move on.
Liam, what have you been watching?
Nothing. I've been very busy, so the only thing I've really done is just had those rewatches of past favorites that have just been, you know, get home from work and just put something on. I just recently rewatched all of Parks and Rec again. Nice. Incredible show. I actually love the last season. Oh. Yes, there is some stuff at the very beginning that is a bit iffy with the Ron and Leslie's relationship.
Yeah, that was a rocky start, wasn't it?
That was a rocky start, but the whole season, by the end of it, I loved it. And I'm also... After that, I'm like, oh, I need some more Mike Schur. So I've started rewatching The Good Place, and rewatching it again, things I had issues with the first time I watched it, I've actually stopped having those issues. I have enjoyed Jason as a character a lot more in the first three seasons than I did the first time around. I think I can see him more for what his role is in the show. And just genuinely just another good feel show like that. It's just
great. I do think about The Good Place surprisingly often, particularly because I think the ending is spectacular of that show. Mm-hmm. But it crosses my mind more often than I...
It sticks a landing, which does not happen often.
And as I always say, endings really define... Like have really define what something was ultimately.
Oh
like,
yeah, remember that show about dragons and people living in the north?
Yeah, no, not really.
No, because no one talks about it anymore because the ending was fucking terrible.
So that show's coming out pretty soon. I've heard apparently there's good buzz around this new Game of Thrones show.
Great, who's telling us that?
Good point.
Yeah, no. Besides that, no, not much honestly. When saw Thor?
Well, we will talk about Thor. I would like to save Thor for the spoiler zone at the very end of the podcast, just so we can talk freely about it because I think it's going to be easier if we can talk details.
Fantastic.
But I'll just quickly mention a couple of things I've been watching. And in fact, I know for a fact you've been watching at least two of these, Liam. We watched Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
Oh, I thought we'd already talked about this, but yes.
No,
I
haven't.
I suggested this today to a friend of ours, a mutual friend, Rod.
So this is the Disney Plus original movie that is sort of a reboot of the Chippendale Rescue Rangers TV show of the 90s, the cartoon show, but it's not because in this version of Chip and Dale, that TV show was a TV show, and Chip and Dale were actors playing those characters in that TV show. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I mean, imagine Lord and Miller made a Chip and Dale movie, and basically, I think that's what you get here.
Basically, it is, yes, it's like a Lord and Miller, like 21 Jump Street.
Lego movie.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? It's not quite as dark, though it is surprisingly dark in some ways, as like Who Framed Roger Rabbit was. But it definitely seems like a spiritual successor to Who Framed Roger Rabbit in good ways, for the most part. It's like an updated version of it, whereas if Who Framed Roger Rabbit was all about like the cartoons of the Disney and Looney Tunes era come to life, mixed with the real life world, do that with kids animated cartoons, but also video game characters, but also with 3D animation, but also like on so many levels. And I had a good time with it. I haven't thought about it a lot since, if I'm being honest, but I think it is a lot of, I had a really fun time with it.
You and I watched this together, and it was, yeah, we chuckled quite a lot.
Quite a lot. And just some really good ideas. I thought some very insightful humor about like modern animation and those sorts of things. And I had a good time with it. Have you watched it, Paul?
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. I'm a Lonely Island stan.
So, oh, it's Lonely Island that made, of course. Yes.
So, and I've loved, you know, all the movies that they've done, Hot Rod and Popstar. And I think this, you know, I didn't expect the Chippendales movie to go alongside that filmography, but it totally does. Great cameos, definitely.
Really strong cameos, and often very well used. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I want to go back through when, like, it's one of those films that's probably got a bunch of details that if you're not paying super close attention, you might meet as well in the background. I need to go back through it.
You should watch New Rock Stars on YouTube. They do a full Easter egg breakdown movie.
Yeah,
that'd be so fun. Frame by frame. I don't want to give anything away, spoilers at all, because I think everyone should watch this because it's great. But there is like a specific character in that movie, which was, I thought was just going to be a, you know, blowaway joke that was bigger to the story than I thought it would be. And I think it's great.
Yeah. That's so vague. I almost want to mention who it is, but the, yes.
Yeah. We three know about it. All three of us know what we're talking about.
When they first show up, it's like, holy crap, I can't believe they were able to do this. And then when they continue to show up, it's like, what the fuck?
How is this still happening?
And it's funny because, like, when people talk about Who Framed Roger Rabbit in retrospect, they're like, that could never happen ever again. And I feel like this does it times 10 in terms of like the different companies that have released their IP for this film.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, there's franchises I would never expect to show up in a Disney production, a Disney family production as well. Yeah.
You're wondering like what loophole did they figure out to allow this? And some of the Easter eggs I've seen, like the one that blew my mind when it got pointed out, it might've been New Rockstars or something, is like there's the graffiti in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse that Miles Morales does. And it's in the background on a fucking wall in a scene. It's like, it's a faraway detail, but it's definitely there. It's like, what sort of like legal team is wrangling all the rights to this sort of shit?
Disney can afford it.
But then it's nuts that this is a straight to Disney plot. Like, this could have been released in cinemas and I think would have done relatively well. I guess since it was based on a TV show, it makes sense to release on a streaming platform instead. But like, it might be one of the best things Disney's released this year, and it's sort of just languishing on Disney Plus. No one's really talking about it, I don't think.
Out of all the things they've revisited Disney this year, this is better than, you know, Obi-Wan or something like that.
I agree, 100%. It's a million times more successful.
I think getting people to the cinema would have been a hard task. I think this is a very easy film for someone to go, oh, I loved Chip and Dale as a kid, I'll give that a go.
Yeah.
But getting someone to shell out $20 for a cinema ticket, I think might have been a harder time. Like, it's a very hard film to sell without ruining the best parts of it. So,
And I'm glad I didn't see a trailer or anything for this.
I saw trailers because I was curious what the tone would be. And the trailer sold me on it. And definitely a couple of jokes were ruined. But that character you don't want to talk about does not show up in the trailer and, like, remains a secret. There was a clip released, I think, that has them in it, but not the trailers, not the main trailers. I really enjoyed Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. We also finished watching Taskmaster Series 13, which is the most latest series of Taskmaster. Once again, Taskmaster is my favorite television show. It's getting me through some very dark times, and I'm sad it's currently off the air. I'm happy to know that Season 14 will be arriving sometime later in the year. I don't know if they've announced the cast yet for Season 14, actually, but...
No, I don't think they have, no.
What I found out is it doesn't matter if I don't know who any of these people are. Mm-hmm. They seem to find the right sort of people for this show. It was a great season once again. I feel like the last 4 seasons, at least, have been really, really top quality.
Yeah, they really had proof.
And then they had the Champion of Champions 2, which had the winners from Season 6 through to Season 10 in a one-off special, which was also excellent. Why the fuck isn't everyone watching Taskmasters?
Because you can't in some places, because it's nearly impossible.
No, yes, you can. You can get Taskmaster Supermax Plus and buy a subscription and watch a lot, if not virtually all, of Taskmaster at this point. Yes.
Is that available? I didn't know if it was available yet. I actually looked it up the other day. Yeah, that's
out. And they're adding a season just about every week, it feels like. And they've added all the international versions and stuff like that, but they're continuing to roll them out. Like,
so do you have it?
No. What I'm saying is...
Because we were about to ask your password, I think, is what was...
Because what I'm saying is there's no excuse for not watching it because it is available anyway.
Caught out.
Everyone watch Taskmaster, though. It's the best. And quickly before we move on to our Thor Love and Thunder sort of spoiler talk, I've been watching... RuPaul's Drag Race. Oh, sorry, meant to mention news. Drag Race Down Under is returning June 30th for Season 2. Are we excited for that, Paul?
It can only be better than the original.
Are you sure about that? Were you familiar? I wanted to ask, actually, because they announced the cast earlier this week. Are you familiar with any of the queens? There's at least one from Adelaide, I think.
Yeah, I've never seen her perform before in Adelaide. Okay. She was originally from New Zealand and then moved here.
I believe that's right.
Like,
yep.
Based here.
Yep.
But I've heard good things. Cool. The cast looks interesting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it wasn't the cast that was the problem with season one. It was the production was extremely rushed and the budget was virtually nothing and it showed.
That's what I'm hoping. Season two needs a better budget. It needs hopefully just the COVID, like... We've moved past all those COVID restrictions in the way these things are made now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, it just feels a bit more seamless, a bit more connected. It doesn't feel so distant. There were fucking, I remember, conspiracy theories getting around that Rue wasn't actually there and had been composited into the shots, that Rue never went to New Zealand.
You were saying those conspiracy theories.
No, that wasn't me. I was refuting those conspiracy theories.
Okay,
yeah, it wasn't me. There were friends of ours who were giving those
Here's my conspiracy theory. Brod was the one.
So I'm hoping that it does feel a bit more cohesive. I don't think it's been officially announced, but I hope Reese Nicholson's back as one of the judges.
He is.
Okay, yep. I did see him retweet a tweet from the RuPaul Down Under account, but I've not officially seen anything. So I'm glad to hear that. Because he was probably the highlight of that whole thing. But I've been watching RuPaul Drag Race All Stars 7.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been watching, Paul?
Yeah, I'm loving it. So fun.
Yeah, I'm obviously not quite as... I haven't watched as much Drag Race as you or Damask have. Watched a lot more than Liam.
That's not hard.
I've probably watched about 50% of what's the main series and UK and All Stars and stuff at this point. But I'm really enjoying Season 7. The biggest reason is probably that I really just love Jinx Monsoon and the fact that we're getting another season with Jinx. And Damask was 100% right. Jinx is Damask's favorite queen. Mm-hmm. Jinx is now my favorite queen and continues to be my favorite queen. And the sequence alone, the Snatch Game doing her Judy Garland.
Yeah, so
I've
good.
Rewatched
that I have seen.
That sequence.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
Is so, 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 so good. But I think in general, I mean, you would expect it when you're bringing back past winners and only winners for a series, but they're like genuinely really, really strong season from...
Well, it's the format change that has made all the difference.
Well, that's okay. So that's a good question. So this is... it's not, you will, there's no eliminations. So all, was it 10 queens, is it?
Yeah.
Are all throughout the entire season. There's none of them are leaving. And at the end, their lip sync challenges are to decide who wins some, like $10,000, I think, like that.
Yeah.
Win prize money. In fact, the top two every week end up getting the, what do you call them? The
legendary badges. Stuff,
which we don't really know how that's going to work out, exactly how they're going to decide. But it's deciding who's in the final probably, right?
Yeah, so whoever the top four, the four with the most badges, get to then lip sync for the crown at the end.
Oh, really? That's how they're deciding it, based on those lip syncs?
Yeah. Damn.
Okay. Jeez, that's a shame that's how they're going to decide. I hate it when they do that. Sure, it can't be the lip syncs. Like, anyway. But...
Totally.
but that format change of keeping them all on there, I think, is working. You've been enjoying that too, Paul?
Yeah, like it just, there's a different vibe to this season because they're not having to deal with people having to leave. Everyone's just kind of more relaxed and just willing to take chances. And there's not that like real competitive edge. Everyone's kind of like, there's more of a friendly rivalry between everyone that's just really fun and breezy to watch. Comfort TV.
They're all really polished queens, obviously, because they've all... won and then probably gone on to have strong careers since. But also I think the way it's being judged is really, they're obviously trying to not be negative. You know how every season it feels like there's one episode where Rue blows up at them because they all sucked that way?
Yeah.
There's not going to be that. There's not going to be the really, really... and like Michelle Visage, when I first started watching, I had a real problem with her and I totally... think she's vile to the show now, but she can be really, really critical sometimes, and like that's not happening. That's just not what the vibe of the show is.
Yeah,
which makes it less competitive, but just as you said, just good vibes and more fun to watch, I think.
Yeah. I really want this to be the normal All Stars format. Like I'd be happy for this to be the normal format overall. Like the show is really about. It's really just like a talent show and showing us what these people can do. So why send them home? Let us see. Like all these queens spend thousands upon thousands of dollars making all these outfits before they even get to the show. And if they get eliminated week one, they don't get to use anything that they're brought.
Yeah.
So why not? They've got it all there. Let them do the whole season.
I agree. I think it could be a really good idea to change up the format that way. Totally. And Jinx Monsoon's the best, and that's great.
Is there still no prize money?
No. What are they getting this season? I haven't seen that.
I think it's 200,000.
It was the UK version doesn't have prize money because it's on the BBC and they can't. So they win, it's a YouTube series or something like that they get to be a part of, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think Holland...
I won one of those once.
And I think Holland, you get a dress for winning.
All right, before we get to the spoiler zone to talk spoilers for Thor Love and Thunder, what did you guys think of Thor Love and Thunder? I'll start. This is the fourth Thor film. It's the second, directed by Taika Waititi. Ragnarok finally was the first good Thor film. Had a great sense of humor, a great sense of adventure. I love the inclusion of Valkyrie. What's his name from Jurassic Park? Jeff Goldblum was great in it. It was great to include Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk. That was a really, really fun time. My favorite Thor film, one of the best and most entertaining Marvel films. I came into Thor Love and Thunder really highly anticipating it and had an excellent, really good time with it. Do I think it's like a groundbreaking film or anything like that in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? No. Do I think it's going to necessarily make it into my top 5 or top 10 Marvel films? Maybe not. But I can't deny I had an excellent time with it. I'm looking forward to watching it again. Liam?
If you had told me after the first Thor film that there would be four, I would have laughed in your face. But yeah, completely agree with you. I sat next to you and we both seemed to have a very good time with this film. There was a joke in it that Brad and I literally laughed at, giggled at for the next 5 minutes.
I'm going to say legitimately, accurately, 2 full minutes.
Yeah, like, that's never happened to me ever in a film before. But like there was four of us sitting together, and all four of us were giggling still.
All four of us were.
I was thinking of that joke before, as you said, the fourth film. I'm like, how am I going to say this? It doesn't make any sense. It's not a good joke.
didn't stop me. But for 2 full minutes, we legitimately just sat there chuckling as the scene continued.
So you can cut this out if you want, but like, what was the joke? Just so I know.
We'll tell you in spoilers.
I came out of it having a really good time. I don't think it's a perfect film, obviously. I think it could have gone for a little bit longer. It did feel at points rushed to me, like things were cut out. But ultimately, I had a great time and I really enjoyed what they were doing with it. And I enjoyed this version of Thor.
I agree also that while I think that there are parts I wish were a bit more fleshed out, and maybe an extra 10, 15, 20 minutes might have been helpful there. It also was, I'll tell you what, I'm getting sick of going to the movies and seeing 2.5 hour movies. So like a movie that, like I looked at my watch when the credits rolled, I was like, that was less than 2 hours, was fucking refreshing. To just be able to go to the movies, sit down, have a really fun, entertaining time, and then walk away satisfied. I was like, with less than 2 hours, I was happy with that.
Could not agree with you more. My new podcast where I watch bad films and they're all over fucking 2 hours, really, I really struggle with.
Well, the movie I brought to your show was only 1 hour and 40 minutes.
True. So. The movie that Brod brought to my show was over 2 hours. So
it shouldn't have been. It could have done with a Thor.
That definitely could have used.
Paul, what do you think of Thor, Love and Thunder?
It's funny when I was hearing everyone talk about this film. A lot of the critical, takes on the film was that it was too jokey, too lighthearted, mm-hmm. too lightweight. So I was really surprised that there is actually quite like a bit of like emotion to this film, and it got a lot darker than I thought it was going to. But overall, I had a really good time with this film. I really enjoyed it. I don't think it was as good as Ragnarok.
Yeah.
And there, I do have a few criticisms that I'll bring up in spoilers that I can't really bring up without ruining stuff. But overall, I had a really fun time with this film.
Okay, I feel bad now because we felt like we were setting you up to tell us that you hated the film. We legitimately didn't know.
When you sent us a message saying, oh, have you, are we going to talk about it on the podcast? Like, yeah, guys, cool. I'll leave my comments for that. We're like, oh, here we go.
So Liam and I just, if we were talking a little bit funny for that last 5 minutes as we gave our reviews, it's because we were trying to set up for the, and here comes Paul to like tell us how bad it was. Okay, cool. I'm glad you enjoyed it, Paul.
We did this with Doctor Strange.
And that's right, on your poker. All right, well, that in mind then, we all enjoyed it. We'd all recommend going to see it?
Yes, definitely. Yes.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Everyone go see Thor, Love and Thunder. But right now, let's get to spoilers for Thor, Love and Thunder.
You're now entering the spoiler zone.
All right, what? Oh, let's tell the joke, the first that Liam and I laughed at for 2 solid. Can you actually? Are there any moments for you that stood out, Paul, that you think might have resulted in 2 minutes of solid laughter?
It was not the grenade that was the speaker. I actually hated that joke.
Yeah. Okay.
They can't all be winners.
Was it any of the stuff with like Matt Damon and Sam Neill? Nope.
No, but that was pretty funny. Yeah,
fantastic.
That was great. No. That was great, all that stuff.
I can't think of it. What was it?
It was the moment where after Gore attacks New Asgard, and they're all going to like the town hall to have the meeting, whatever. And Jane's like twirling the hammer in her hand, and Thor's like trying to get Mjolnir to come to him. And then as he's like, "Come here, come Mjolnir," and then Stormbringer, whatever the axe is, Stormbreaker just comes slowly sliding in, like an accusatory girlfriend. The execution.
Oh, I was just calling you.
Just the way, because every time those weapons move, they move with pace, right? You call them, they fling too, and so to see Stormbreaker just really slowly, like if you down, I'm sure it was just on a trolley, just being pulled along on a string or something like that, and just the reaction, the side eye from Chris Hemsworth,
so good.
It was, and the sound, I don't know what it was, but it was so well executed. Yeah. I just genuinely couldn't stop laughing for 2 minutes. I thought it was so good. And then every time they sort of repeated on that theme, it was funny too, yeah. but it was never as good as that first one. I've rewatched that clip's online. I've rewatched yeah. it multiple times. It makes me laugh every time.
And that I think, whole idea, sorry. Okay.
I was going to say, like, Chris Hemsworth's comic timing is fantastic. It's like, really who would have good. Thought that he would end up being one of the best comedic actors?
So annoying. Yeah. You're not allowed to be that fucking good looking and also be funny.
Next, we'll find out he can sing. Like,
yeah, yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's an Australian thing. Hugh Jackman can do all those things. Anyway.
Yeah. The thing is, right, that whole concept is all, I feel like, was almost born out of a joke from Ragnarok. It's like, oh, it sounds like you had a really intimate relationship with their hammer and that it was comparable to losing a loved one. That is basically this whole premise of this hammer and Stormbreaker, blah, 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 blah. Like, I thought it was so good.
Did you have any particular moments to that for you, Paul?
I feel, because I've seen backlash online, but I actually really found Russell Crowe and his Greek accent quite hilarious.
So I think this is problematic. This is problematic, right? Yeah. I've been trying to grapple with what this is, because the moment he started talking, Liam yeah. and I both leaned into each other just say, he's gone full Con the Fruiterer. Yeah. Which is
and to the point where you say coupler, the way he said coupler a couple of times throughout it,
which is a problem.
It's a problem.
Con the Fruiterer is a racist character played by an Anglo-Saxon Australian. And Russell Crowe decided his Zeus was going to be Con the Fruiterer. Now, I have
it's a theory. It's a brave move, Cotton.
Well, it's surprising because Taika was on board for this, and I'm sure Taika Waititi is aware of that character and what that 100%. Is. There is no way that he's not. As a New Zealander, I'm positive he would know about it. He's also pretty sensitive to jokes, to racism and stuff like that. So my only thought on this is that the joke is that Zeus is not actually Greek, right? He's a fucking alien like Thor is. But because he's an alien that became the god of the Greeks, he sort of is doing a pantomime racist stereotype of like a Greek Australian immigrant somehow. I don't know why. But there is maybe a thought there that it is actually, because Zeus is not a good character. Zeus is like, he isn't in even the mythology. He's a pig-headed piece of shit like yeah. he is in this movie. You're not meant to like Zeus. He is yeah. meant to be entertaining, which is where it gets difficult. It's funny because of the stereotype that he's playing, or is it funny because Zeus is playing that stereotype, much like Con the Fruiterer? If it's the second thing, I think that's where my laughter is. And also, Russell Crowe really, really goes for it. And on the record,
we are not laughing at this. No, I want to know, does Russell Crowe have any Greek heritage at all?
No, as far as I'm aware.
Damn.
I just said,
like Vince Colosimo or somebody, like, you could, that's someone who could probably get away with doing that. You know what I mean?
Oh, as someone else who's from, like, I am from, like, my heritage is Maltese. So, like, I am also from a Mediterranean.
Tell us it's okay to laugh at this.
Mediterranean. Help us out here, man. Mostly white island that's in the Mediterranean. If Russell Crowe went into Thor, Love and Thunder and started doing a stereotypical Maltese accent, I would be fine with it.
Really?
Just saying. Just saying.
Just because it's Russell Crowe?
I wouldn't really care. Like, I wouldn't care if anyone did a Maltese accent.
The problem is, and like, it is the direct comparison to like Con the Fruiterer, is that there was a time where, like, and this is where a film like The Wog Boy is actually maybe, you know, a good reference point or whatever. There was a time where Greek and Lebanese immigrants and so forth were the minority in Australia, and they were made fun of and called all sorts of awful names and excluded from society for these sorts of reasons. And that's where so many of those, like, that caricature and that stereotype comes from.
Yeah.
Whether that's as relevant today or not. It's a really interesting conversation. I've already seen a little bit of backlash, as you have, but not as much as I maybe thought there was going to be for a film that's, you know,
and
a lot of people
have
seen.
Who have you seen the backlash come from is the question. Have you seen any Greek Australians say that they were offended by this? Because shouldn't they be the ones to be offended?
Yeah, you're right. And no, I don't think so. Not really.
Or is it just like Twitter, like, what are we going to be offended about today?
I think it was an ABC article about it, actually. There's been, like, reporters, but whether or not that makes it more legitimate or not is a different story. Like,
At home, Brod used air quotes when he said the word reporters.
Well, half the fucking shit we see in the news these days is filtered through an algorithm and isn't being written by people. Some of the horrendous spelling mistakes and grammatical errors and shit like this I've seen recently from the way that, like, news articles are put together in Australian media, there's barely anyone actually manning these fucking stations anyway, like the keyboards. So I do use reporters in air quotes because it's not necessarily actually written by a person. I don't know. But, yeah. In the meantime, it's probably the most animated I've seen Russell Crowe in a really long time. And I thought he was, I don't know, I really enjoyed it.
Look, it was better than his scene.
That might make me a bad person, and I'm willing to accept that. Or at least be told that I'm a bad person.
Yeah, the goats were also funny, but I think it wore off by the end of the film.
Well, I think they kind of front load it, and then it kind of would just like reappear to like almost shock you and surprise you enough times.
Like when they run into the planet.
The rain into the planet was one of the best visual gags.
Yeah,
I've seen in cinema in a long time. Especially that's the thing. This film is the funniest. This is funnier than Thor Ragnarok, and I think it's meant to be an outright comedy, and I think it succeeds.
I agree.
Yeah.
Something I did come across listening to some other reviews of it, and it seems like while there has been some critical backlash and there are some people who've decided they want to cancel Taika or they're ready to move on from Taika because, I don't know, tall poppy syndrome seems to have left Australians now and just the internet in general. I've seen some people say they didn't love what Natalie Portman was doing in this film, that they felt like it wasn't the same Jane Foster, or that they weren't on board with, like, they didn't feel like she was believable or something like that. There were some weird critiques I read and listened to that I think are way off base, because I thought Natalie Portman fucking nailed the pretending to be okay when I'm not okay and the awkward trying to rekindle something with your ex-boyfriend 100%. I thought she was the strongest performer in the entire film.
Yeah, she was fantastic. I really loved her in this film.
I did too.
I agree.
But I have to say my main criticism of the film is more of a wider criticism with Marvel, and I was kind of proven right by the end of the credits, is that death feels meaningless in Marvel films.
She's dead, dude.
Well, is she? Or yes. Are they going to have, in the next Thor film, somebody finds a portal to Valhalla and then they have to save her and then she has to team back up with...
This is the whole thesis of Phase 4, though, is about afterlife and faith.
Yeah, this is the third Think about afterlife.
Every other this is the fourth afterlife. That's where they're going with this.
But I just felt like I wanted that when she was dying in his arms, I just couldn't let myself feel anything, because in the back of my mind I was like, I feel like we're going to see her again and this isn't the end and she's not going to be dead in some way. Like, that's all I... She's dead. But... She might be dead, but she's coming back.
No, she's not coming back. She's dead.
I guarantee she will be back.
Do you want to put a bet on it? I'll place a bet on it.
What's the bet?
The bet is...
Brod will watch Upload Season 3.
And if you lose,
you can't watch you can't Upload, watch season, upload three. Season 3.
No, I would never make that bet. I'd rather die.
The only thing in the end credit sequence that disappointed me is that Sif's arm wasn't there. Like, where's that joke?
Just floating by in the background.
Just pick it up. Just crawling put it over, across the bridge. Just put it over his shoulder as they walk in.
The Jane Foster stuff really worked for me. The stuff at the end with Thor and the kid really worked for me. If there is one thing I wish we had more of, and I 100% agree with this, I wish we did have more gore, because Christian Bale's gore was really, really good.
Yeah.
And I think there was room to see him maybe kill some more gods. I thought that was, like, we really only saw him kill one. I think that's if he's the god butcher, maybe let's see him do some more butchering. And
apparently there was a bit that a bunch of stuff was like worlds that were removed from this movie. So like stuff they filmed, I saw an interview with Natalie Portman talking about this. So a whole bunch of stuff they filmed that was actually just left on the cutting room floor.
The original cut of this film was over 3 hours.
4 hours even, I think it was. But the problem is, I always hate it when I hear that. It's like the original cut was an assembly cut more than likely. And of course it went for 4 hours because it hadn't been edited for pace or anything like that.
And good on them to get it down to an hour and 45 minutes though.
Well,
geez.
Taika has then come out and said he's not interested in doing a director's cut. People have asked for that. And he's like, no, I don't want to do that stuff. He said that outright that, pretty much the problem with all director's cuts is they're all kind of shit. The only time that a director's cut is ever particularly interesting is when the film has been taken away from someone. But apparently he also said him and Chris Hemsworth didn't know that the Thor Will Return title was going to be at the end of the credits, which either suggests that
Natalie Portman is alive.
No, the Disney is just extremely confident that they'll get them back again. And apparently Taika has said he'd be down for doing a third or fifth Thor film, but his third directing. But also... he may have not been editing this film, which might be why it does feel a little truncated and a little... But the thing is, I feel like he would have been part of the edit for the comic timing. Like, because so much of that is reliant on how you cut together. What are you going to say, Paul?
Well, couldn't the Thor Will Return refer to Natalie Portman?
It could.
And, like... It could actually refer to
anybody.
We see it directly after, like, she's the last thing we see, and then it directly then goes to Thor Will Return.
Could be, but it could also be something like, I can't remember the character's name, Billy something or other. There's a Thor that's like an alien that's Thor. There's Frog Thor, which we've actually seen in Loki. Mm-hmm. There are versions of Thor that aren't Chris Hemsworth or Jane, the Thor Odinson or Jane Foster that could also be Thor at some stage.
I mean, there could anybody can be Thor if they're worthy enough to hold the hammer.
Absolutely. So, like, that's interesting too. Actually, I hadn't thought of that. It doesn't have to be Chris Hemsworth. But no, overall, I thought the film was really fun, and like, I agree with you guys. Liam, you were saying it's not a perfect film. It's got its flaws, but like it was solidly entertaining, and I had a genuinely good time watching it.
I really enjoyed the stuff with the kids in that last final battle. Like that was super cool to see. I really thought Chris Hemsworth did a really good job. The black and white sequence. There was stuff from the trailer that wasn't in that black and white sequence that I thought was missing, because it was like, I don't know. It's I really, really liked it.
The thing is, it's like I went here to talk spoilers, partly because I expected Paul to hate the movie, but but it is, I guess, a slighter film. Like it doesn't like there are some heavy themes in here, but it has no real long lasting implications on the MCU, which maybe people think once you get to a Thor 4, this guy's been in all the Avengers films and stuff like that, it would have some more weight to it. What was the big thing that changed here? Jane's dead and Thor's got a kid. Cool.
I mean, pretty big.
Well, but not like New Asgard, you know what I mean? Not like Asgard gets destroyed or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Like universe changing. It's like it does shift the status quo for this character in a significant way. But maybe this is the problem people have had with Phase 4 is they're expecting every film to like reshape the MCU or be like the thing that connects us to where we're going next, I think it's been a lot of just like someone else called this an epilogue to Thor's story in a way. Like you think about after losing everybody he's ever loved and then losing one more person he loved in Jane Foster at the end of this, he sort of finds a new purpose being a dad. And like, and you could literally just go, and that's the last we ever really see of Thor in the MCU. And it'd be a, kind of a sweet ending.
I agree.
Anyway, we've definitely been talking too long. Thank you both again for coming on and just talking shit with me for 2.5 hours. Paul, what's happening with Swapcast Podcast?
Our last episode, we did a review of Here Comes the Bride, which is a Filipino 5-person body swap. A lot of fun. The movie was actually surprisingly good and fun to talk about, so definitely give that a listen. Our next main review is All Cheerleaders Die, which is a horror
sounded
comedy.
Really interesting, actually, yeah. From the description.
Yeah, and from the director of Lindsay Lohan's I Know Who Killed Me, which is like an all-time classic piece of shit movie. I don't know which one will release first, either that one. We're also doing one of our tenuous swap episodes where we force each other to watch a film that's not a swap film. Sure. So that should be a fun one as well. So there are lots of fun Swapcast content coming out.
Very cool. And where can people reach you, Paul?
If they go on Instagram, the Swapcast Podcast, email us at the swapcastpodcast@gmail.com. We've got a Twitter, Facebook, but yeah, the Insta's probably the best place to go. That's where we post most often.
And Liam, what are you up to?
I'm just working. I've got a new podcast coming out soon. I don't have a release date yet, but you've both been on it and it's great. It's called Convince Us, where people come on and convince us of their opinion about a film that is, you know, either a bad film that people love or vice versa. And I'm also a Twitch streamer. Haven't done a lot lately, but I'm doing a charity D&D stream in August over 3 weeks. Cool. So drop in. It's all in support of Headspace. So all the money goes to Headspace, which is a great youth mental health organization in Australia. So
what's your Twitch stream?
Twitch stream is Liam Draws with an underscore. If you also on Instagram,
Liam Draws underscore. Yeah. When you say with an underscore, I thought people might have interpreted that as Liam underscore draws.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. It's Liam Draws underscore.
There we go. Thank you.
That's LIAMDRAW. And then on your keyboard, it's shift and the one next to the zero.
All right. We'll be back. Damask and I will be back soon, either next week or the week after, to finally review Stranger Things Season 4, which I'm very much looking forward to talking about. In the meantime, thank you again for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
See ya.
Bye. Absolutely.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.